Good morning. In Jesus' name. Well, it's the last day of the feast. And we can't build three tabernacles and stay here. And we don't want to either, bless God. Why don't we stand to our feet? You know that little song we sang yesterday on our knees? I know some of you probably don't know it, but that's all right. I think we'll sing that and then have a prayer. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He our God and our Father, we acknowledge that, the truth of that little song before you this morning. We come to you in the name of your Son, the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we have received the anointing and it abideth in us, Father. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation of that truth that you have allowed to dawn slowly upon our hearts through these last few days, Father. We acknowledge it before you this morning, the anointing, it abideth in us. We praise you for that, Lord. Oh, we just pray, Father, that you will have your way in this meeting this morning. God, that you will teach us the things that we need to learn. We ask you this morning, God, that you would bind Satan and every evil spirit, every lying spirit that would hinder the truth to come forth to our hearts, God, today. Lord, we pray that you will be jealous over each and every one of our hearts today and give us ears to hear, Lord. We trust you for that. Father, wash us in the blood this morning. Lord, every little attitude, dear God, every little thing that may have come our way, dear Lord, this morning already, we just acknowledge we need your blood to keep on cleansing and keep on cleansing us from all sin. So we thank you for that, Father, and pray that you will fill us, Lord, with the Spirit of the living God. We trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A lot of ground to cover this morning. This morning's message is probably the most important message of the five sermons that you've heard on the Holy Spirit this week. This morning's message. And just to introduce our subject, I would like us to read in Ezekiel 47. You want to turn there in your Bible? Ezekiel 47. This is the account we mentioned earlier in these sessions where Ezekiel is in the midst of a vision of the temple, the house of God. Chapter 47 and verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankle. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, thou hast seen this. Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. Are you planted there? Then said he unto me, These waters issued out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that every thing that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And Jesus said to his disciples, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now this account that we have here this morning is very interesting in light of our subject today. And the title of my message, Walking in the Overwhelming Presence of God. Walking in the Overwhelming Presence of God. We see the account here of Ezekiel, and he was brought to the brink of a river, and there was a man there who measured 1,000 and took him to that place where he measured. Ezekiel walked to that place, and he was in at his ankles. Then he measured 1,000, and Ezekiel walked to that place, and he was up to his knees. Then he measured 1,000, and Ezekiel walked to that place, and he was up to his hips. Then he measured 1,000, and behold, it was a river that you couldn't pass over. So much water that all you could do is swim in it. I would just like to take this portion of Scripture and challenge each one of us this morning that it is in your hands how much you want to walk in. But if you would like to swim someday, you're going to have to walk today, or you will never swim in what we're speaking about. If you would like to be up to your knees in the river of God, you're going to have to walk while it's up on your ankles, or you will never see it on your knees. I promise you, you will never see it. Brethren, we are accountable to walk. I don't know if that has dawned on you yet, but it has upon me, the awesome accountability that has settled down upon us as we have subjected ourselves to the ministry of the Word, concerning these truths this week, there's an awesome accountability upon us. I mean, the bottom line is simply this. Everything is bought and paid for. The provisions have been made. The anointing of the grace of God is flowing to the people of God, and it's available for anybody whosoever will. We're accountable. Let us walk in the waters to the deep places, brethren. Let us walk in the waters to the deep places. I'm afraid that we've been splashing around on the water's edge much, much too long. Sometimes I wonder if that's kind of how we see meetings like this, you know. Let's go play in the water for a week, just splashing around at the river's edge. And when the week's all over with, we leave the river's edge and go back out into all of our materialism and all of our self-centered living and all those other things, and we leave the water's edge. And you know it's so, and many, many people would say so. 2 weeks later, everything they got is gone. I'm afraid we've been splashing around like little children on the edge of the waters, and God is saying, brethren, it's time that we grow up and walk. It's time that we quit splashing around on the edge of the waters and learn to walk. Amen? True Christian reality comes as we walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You will never ever see it any other way. If it takes you 10 more years to get it all figured out, well, then it'll take you 10 more years, but it will not come any other way. God is very stubborn. It will be His way or it will be no way, no matter how long you want to take to figure it out. He's very stubborn. This is how you get your light to so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Wesley said, you can't shine if you don't burn. You can't burn if you're not on fire. You just can't. You know the illustrations there in the Sermon on the Mount? That's not turning a light on. It's lighting a fire. Lighting a fire. What we've been learning this week, this is how we become the salt of the earth. This is it. And this is why the salt has lost its savor and is no more salty, and it is good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden underfoot of men. This is why the church is not the salt of the earth anymore, brethren. What we've been learning this week is the reason. I was thinking about the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You know that beautiful verse there in Hebrews where it says that He was tempted in all points like as we are and yet without sin. You know, we know that verse, and we take comfort in that, you know, that we realize that our high priest, our heavenly Aaron, is at the right hand of the Father. We realize that He's gone on before us and He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But brethren, did you ever consider that every one of those temptations that the Lord Jesus Christ faced, He faced them in the fullness of the anointing of His Father? And that's how He was able to be tempted in all those points and yet without sin. And dear brothers, we are not going to be able to face temptations when we go out of here if we don't face them in the same way with the anointing of the Spirit of God. I think many times we got this thing all confused. Like I said before, we're stumbling around in the New Testament trying to get this whole thing figured out. And we read that verse in there, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. And we read that verse and then we look at our own experience and say, I haven't really found it to be that way. Brother, did you ever consider that God wrote that thing in light of a Spirit-filled Christian? You know that the New Testament is written in light of Spirit-filled Christianity. It is not written in light of our anemic, stumbling, bumbling Christian life. You won't understand the New Testament until you understand that it is written in the context of an anointed life. So yes, an anointed life can say, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. He faced every temptation with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and that's how we need to face temptation when we go out of here. You know, we're going to come down off the mount and go back down into the valley, into a real world, and we must learn to abide in the anointing. We must. Let's read in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, we find these beautiful words. I like John. That old man, 90 years old, living under the anointing for 60 years, that sweet old saint. This is what he says. Chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Now, I want you to notice in this verse, these two verses, that John is interchanging a couple of words here. And the interchange of words is anointing and Him. Anointing and Him. And they're the same thing. Remember? He's the Christ. So the anointing and Him is the same thing. And John is simply encouraging them to abide in that anointing which they received. And God gives us the same challenge this morning. I don't know how God has been working in your heart through this week, but I'm sure that there are men sitting in this room this morning that you know without a doubt there's an anointing upon you as you sit here this morning. Abide in that anointing is the challenge and plea that I make to you today. We have responsibility to abide in it. In John chapter 15, let me make this application to John chapter 15 this morning. Jesus said, I am the Christ, the Anointed One. Abide in the anointing that is poured out in these last days. Can we just put John 15 in that context? Because they're synonymous. The anointing and the Christ, they are synonymous. So when Jesus was speaking to His disciples in John 15 and saying to them, I want you to abide in Me, He's speaking about abiding in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And He tells them, I am the vine, ye are the branches. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide vitally connected to the vine, No more can ye bear fruit except ye abide vitally connected with me. And to abide vitally connected with Christ is to abide vitally intermingled and connected in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what it means. The reality of our union with Christ is through the abiding anointing in our lives. That union is made real through the anointing that we've been speaking about. Think about John chapter 17. That prayer that Christ prayed and all those glorious things, and we can't turn there and read that chapter, we'll get stuck in there, and I have too much to say to even open up to that chapter, but that thing is full. It is running over. It is rich. It is heavenly. But every bit of it is answered and was answered when the Father anointed the Son, the Christ, as He sat on the right hand of the throne of God. All that prayer is answered in the anointing. All that prayer becomes reality in our lives through the anointing. All that prayer of unity and power and oneness and love and sanctification and all of that, that becomes a reality in our fellowships as we abide in the anointing. That's exciting. Praise God. We can go home and have a totally different church if we want. If we want. Jesus said these words to His disciples somewhere in the middle of His ministry. He asked them, "Who am I? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter was the one who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Anointed One. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." And then Christ said to them, "On this rock, on this foundation, I will build my church. On that anointed Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Do you see what I'm doing this morning? We're just kind of moving around New Testament verse, one here, one there, and I'm trying to pull them all together to help you to see that we can't get away from what we've been learning this week. We must come to grips with it. That's how Christ builds His church. I know there's a lot of little fellowships represented in this room. Some of them are small, some of them are big, some of them just started. Some of you are in fear and trepidation and you wonder whether they're going to make it or not. Well, I'm telling you how they can make it. Abide in the anointing, and Christ promised He would build a church. Say, "Well, Brother Denny, what message can you give me today?" None. I don't need to give you any message. You build your life on the Anointed One, and He'll build the church. You can sit back like the apostles did in awe and watch Him work. And He'll get all the glory. You won't need to be able to write a book on seven steps to church planting success. Just abide in the anointing, and it'll be there. Give you a little exercise. I'm good for exercises. Amen. Yeah, well, you can pass it off if you want, but I'd encourage you to take some of these exercises I give you. Let me give you an exercise. You take the tapes from these sessions, and you sit down alone with God for a day, and you listen to them again. And when you're done, you start in Matthew chapter 1. and spend a couple of hours every morning in the New Testament till you get to the end of the month. And just go through the whole thing in light of all the meat and material that has been placed at your feet this week. I tell you what, things will come together in your mind and heart that never did before. I give you that exercise. Go pump weights for a while. Amen. Paul said it this way. Paul said, I count all things but dung that I might win, gain the Anointed One. Amen? Isn't that right? I count all things but dung. Forget it all. Forget my reputation. Forget my pedigree. Forget my money. Forget my heritage. Forget my denomination. Forget all of those things. My selfish pursuit, forget them all. Count them but dung, that I might gain the Anointed One. And brethren, he wasn't saying something that he didn't already have. He was saying, I want to gain the Anointed One every single day and every moment of my life. You know that's what he was saying. He wasn't a lost man saying you need Jesus. He was a man who knew the Lord sweetly. He knew the anointing of God sweetly. But the cry of his heart and the motivation of his heart was that he would live under the anointing of the Christ all the days of his life. This one thing I do, Paul said. This one thing I do. Beautiful word, Paul. And we can look at your life and surely know where the secret of your strength came from. And brethren, that is what it will take for every one of us here also. All things but loss, that I might gain the Anointed One in my life. That's what it'll take. Can't change that. Now I want to give you a few principles this morning that will help you, that will aid you in maintaining the anointing of God upon your life. But before I give you some principles that will help you to maintain the anointing upon your life, I want to talk to you about maintaining the anointing. There's a difference. There's a difference. Let's read in Romans a bit here, Romans 7. Say, now, Brother Denny, you're just going to give us the message that you gave before. How come you haven't figured one out yet? How come I have to give it again? But listen. Walking in the overwhelming presence of the living God. That's what we're talking about. Praise God. We learned all about it. Praise God. We learned how to obtain it. But that really doesn't mean a lot if we don't learn how to walk in the overwhelming presence of the living God. Paul, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, we see the heart cry of a man who is failing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I don't know if there's anybody in the room yet who feels that way, but there probably was on Monday. I hope there isn't, but there probably still is a few, even here this morning. And in your heart is just saying, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death. Paul goes on to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the Savior, the Anointed, the Lord. Amen? Through the Savior, the Anointed One, the Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in the Anointed Savior. There is no condemnation to them that are in the Anointed Savior. Amen? Praise God for that. There's a safe place to stand. You can look at your needs. God can reveal them to you. God can convict you. There's no condemnation to them that are in the Anointed Savior. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Anointed Savior has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's beautiful. Freedom. Glorious freedom. Continual freedom. How? Oh, there is a law I have to abide by. It is the law of the Spirit of life in the Anointed Savior. Did you get it? That's it. That's it. We're free from the law. Glory. We're free from the law. But you got a new law, brethren. You got a new law. It's a glorious law. It's a life-giving law. It's a law that flows with grace and power into the life of the believer. It is the law of the Spirit of life in the Anointed Savior. Hallelujah. Glory. That's worth getting excited about. It has made me free from the law of sin and death. Maybe you read all those verses over there in Romans chapter 6 and said, sure not that way with me. Free from sin, dead indeed to sin and alive unto God. I don't understand all that works. Well, listen, you're not going to understand it until you come to grips with the new law. Amen? I mean, this is the new standard. It's the law of the Spirit of life in the Anointed Savior. You see, we have to walk in this abiding presence of God. The whole thing doesn't work if we're not willing to walk in that abiding presence. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's just simply saying the same thing that we've been saying all week long. Only it's just a very simple in a nutshell. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will bear much fruit. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will find a very fruitful life. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will have spiritual ministry. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will be spiritual. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will be spiritually minded. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will war in the Spirit. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will find the reality of all the spiritual things that are mentioned in the New Testament. If you walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? I think you've been learning this week. You've been learning. God has been exercising you. The stage was set for you to learn how to walk in the Spirit all through this week. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe even sometime this week, something happened inside of your heart, and you knew right away, things aren't right. Something isn't right here. What did you do about it? You went and made it right. You went and made it right. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. I walked through the door this morning. 3 hours alone. 3 hours alone. Sweet, beautiful time alone with God this morning, preparing the message. And I walked through the door and someone came up to me and someone else came up to me and somebody had an announcement to give me and all these things, and I'm just going, ooh, I've got a sermon to preach. Don't give me any announcements or anything. But in the midst of that, something happened inside of my heart. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to walk in the Spirit, brethren. I'm going to bow my heart before God and say, God, that frustrated me, Lord. All those things coming my way, and I'm just wanting to give my sermon this morning, Lord. Please forgive me, God. I wasn't trusting You. You could have given me the grace to handle all of that. Lord, please forgive me and wash me in the blood. That's what it's all about. That's abiding in the anointing. Amen? Now, I had a choice this morning. When all that hit me when I walked through the door, things got a little cloudy for me for about a minute. You know what I mean? You ever been under this chair before? Now, I had a choice to make. I could just get up here and give my sermon. Right? I can get up here and say my prayer. You know, that's the right thing to do. I'm the minister and I got to say the prayer, you know. And I give my sermon. And I have a choice to make. I can give my sermon up here like this. Or I can give my sermon up there like this. And I chose to give my sermon up here this morning like this. Because I don't want to give it any other way. But brethren, that's the reality. When you leave here and you're going to go home, you're going to have to deal with this chair, brethren. What are you going to do with this chair? A week from now? 2 weeks from now? What are you going to do with this chair? What are you going to do when the wife passes something your way and it doesn't sit right and you throw it back, you know? And all of a sudden, the atmosphere isn't quite the same anymore. And brethren, if we would abide in a powerful anointing, we would know it immediately. We would know it immediately. Things aren't right. Things aren't right. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to live like this for a couple days? Oh, it's Wednesday night, prayer meeting tonight. Well, I think I'll just go on to church. Amen. And I'll sit down in my pew with the church and the preacher has something to share. And I'll sit down there. Amen, preacher. Amen. Brother Denny, would you lead us in prayer? Sure, I'll lead us in prayer. Oh, God, we pray that You'll bless us, Lord, and bless the ministry tonight, God, as they share.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 7 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.